is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city. And, of course, if you missed anything in the first 2 hours of the show, you missed Courtney joining us, recapping our listener appreciation party. You missed Cody Stutes talking about training camp and the Texans a little bit. And you missed a lot of other things. So all you need to do to catch up on what you missed, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab at the top of the page. You can click on the hours you missed and listen to all that. And then while you're there, you download the app, you follow the instructions, you have it with you. That way you can listen to us anywhere, everywhere across the country like a lot of our suspects do. So we were at the party last night. I'm sorry some of you people that said that's sour grapes. I really...
Talking about it?
Yeah, I, we have to promote the fact that we had a great time with our listeners and there'll be other opportunities. Come see us on a remote. Maybe even get a shirt. But in the meantime, there was a lot going on. We talked about the Astros, which we were able to catch up on. But there was a lot of football games again last night as week two of the preseason got underway. And oh, what a difference a week makes. Because a week ago, we were talking about how successful Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and the Cardinals looked and should be offensively, especially with Murray going, I believe, 5 for 5 in his first drive. Last night, he had 5 series, I believe, where he was at the helm. He gained it. The team gained a total of 12 yards.
Mm.
He missed a lot of open throws. He got dinged several times for the cadence of using a clap while in the shotgun as opposed to verbal cadence, where you demonstratively clap your hands like you're allowed to do in college. You can't do it like that in the pros, and I believe they singled him out because it's preseason, and they were making extra points with calling penalties on him for a legal procedure.
He said the officials told him he was, quote, too abrupt in his clap and, quote, not smooth enough as far as bringing my hands together.
That's a message. Because you see so many quarterbacks that clap their hands and do other things.
Sure.
And I think, you know what, without admitting it, but I'm not mad at him for doing it because it doesn't count. There's nothing lost by doing it in a preseason game.
Right.
And you get them to do it correctly going forward. So in the regular season, it doesn't become an issue. Because you know there'll be defenses at some point that say, look, man, we're jumping because he's all over moving everything. And our guy can't do that.
Well, this is part of why you have preseason.
Sure.
I mean, for all the reasons people complain about preseason, this is one of those things that you get a young rookie quarterback that needs to adjust to different rules in the NFL. And the nuance of those rules, and now he's learning that, and he can be better for it. And what I'm kind of surprised about is how little he played, if that was the case. I mean, he came off of a really good game one, preseason game one. Then he struggles in preseason game two against the Raiders, and 1.5 yards was his average on his 3 passes.
Yeah.
That's pretty awful. I'm almost tempted to say I wonder if they should have left him in there a little longer to get some more game speed and some more game time.
Because the other thing was he was sacked a few times.
Yeah.
And
almost
went
for a safety,
thing,
or was it a safety?
It was right on the goal line.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is put a guy that, for all intents and purposes, is going to be a starter from week one and put him in harm's way, especially if he's playing bad and the defense is getting penetration into the backfield to actually hit him. I think that they made the right move. Now, they also said, look, we're not running anything that we're going to run during the regular season. So if it's that vanilla and he's taking that much of a beating and not playing that well, get his ass out. Because all he's going to do is take scrutiny and he's going to have a lot more to think about in terms of negatives instead of positives.
It's the Cardinals, and I get it, but this is the opportunity for him to get up to speed, get up to NFL speed, reading NFL defenses as vanilla as they're going to be, seeing how guys defensively play in the NFL and what his offense does and these new linemen and everything else before you start week one. Because if it's going to take him so many snaps to figure that out, you might be 0-3, 0-4 before he ever does.
You can do that in practice just to...
No, it's not the same.
But it's not the same, but at the same time, you're also not putting your quarterback in harm's way because you're doing against guys that are trying to earn spots and jobs and their money's on the line too. So they're probably going to hit a little harder, be a little bit more aggressive while he's trying to iron out the kinks. The other thing that's worth notating is at one point after he was in the game. They were down 26-0.
Mm-hmm.
This is how painful this is for me to say this. Todd Hundley came into the game and led them to a comeback.
Brett Hundley.
Brett, exactly.
Todd Hundley came into the game.
And you know how much I'd like to forget him as a whole from his time in Green Bay?
Of course.
But he led the team back to where it was a competitive football game. So they still could work on things and get back into the game, but they also need to see what they have as a backup, because if he keeps playing this bad.
No, they're not benching Kyler Murray.
Not right off the
no
right,
way.
Not from the jump.
No way.
But
no
also,
way
if
that
he
they
continues
bench
to
him
get
all
hit,
year.
Dude, you better make sure you got a capable backup.
I don't. Well, injury is one thing,
I'm
but
saying,
they're not benching him.
No, I don't think
he's. No.
He's starting the season, right. But, I mean, look, and as much as this is being made about Kyler Murray, this is also about Cliff Kingsbury, because this system and this way of playing football was moderately successful and made him very popular as a coach and a coordinator in college football. But there were a lot of people from the jump that said, hey, if he tries to do this in the NFL, it's a different speed, mm-hmm. a different type of athleticism, and a different type of aggressiveness. I don't think it's going to fly. There were a lot of guys watching that tape last night going, go ahead, try this week one,
mm-hmm.
and think it's going to get better.
Also, don't give too much credit to Brett Hundley. It was probably against the guys that aren't going to be playing in the NFL in 3 weeks.
But my other point was, for all the pressure you're going to put on Kyler Murray,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot of pressure on Cliff Kingsbury.
But I would still say, if you've got third and fourth string guys in there,
mm-hmm.
that might be the perfect time to run Murray out there for a couple of plays.
I see what you're saying.
And just get some polish. Just get some game time.
Or some confidence.
And that too. But I'm just saying, you want some of these cats to learn this game before the season starts to give yourself a chance. If you think you're going to be, you know, and I think every team, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury isn't going into the season thinking, ah, we suck. We know we're going to suck. So why risk it? I think these guys want to win. And I'm not suggesting that it's the smartest thing in the world to expose your quarterback. But look how much Deshaun Watson played earlier in his career.
But he
played a lot in the preseason to learn how to play the position.
You know what? It's one thing to put him out there, and if he has success, now I'm going to let him roll a little bit. But if he is taking shots and he's not playing well, then I don't want this to be something that lingers and he has some bad thoughts in his head and has some bad habits that continue to pop up. And you just keep throwing them out there, because then frustration sets in. And I think you can do those things at practice at least for another week or so. You know, obviously in week three, they say that's the dress rehearsal. So then let him go three quarters of the game.
But okay.
I just didn't like the fact he was taking hits too.
Yeah, that's the scary part. I mean, but that's football, man. That's football.
Well, and there's a lot of people that like are licking their chops going. You look at everything that went on too. The Cardinals forget they have a pretty good running back in Johnson.
Yeah.
And so if you want to make sure you take pressure off your quarterback, especially when he's not playing so well, try to run the football. Try and give that guy an opportunity to
balance the offense. Four carries.
It was awful. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I hope you're hiding a whole bunch, Cliff Kingsbury, and you debut week one and you just take the football world by storm, because otherwise there are going to be people teeing off and you're going to have a lot of pressure on you.
Well, I'm guessing if it was that much pressure, the offensive line looked awful.
They didn't look great. But at the same time, you know, Kyler Murray was trying to extend plays. And what probably was a 10-yard run on a first down in college was barely a 2-yard run as he bailed out getting to the sideline.
Yeah, it's hard to get that edge, especially when you got people in pursuit. Trust me, I know.
Okay. And on that note, just the other things, and obviously the Packers lost last night. The Ravens looked pretty good. Lamar Jackson was scrambling and doing it effectively. And Aaron Rodgers was held out of the game, and it was probably a good thing because the Baltimore defense was pretty much all over the place last night from what I saw. So some things to keep an eye on there. There was a neat sequence at the end of the game where Jackson came over to shake Rodgers' hand, was telling him he was a big fan, all this other stuff, and Rodgers was saying, hey, man, you're pretty awesome, and that was pretty cool to watch. Now you probably want to learn how to slide and get down a little bit.
Oh, really?
He jumped over some guys and was throwing himself out there, and again, preseason, there are guys that are going to respectfully probably not tee off on you. Regular season, there are some guys going to unload on you.
What's the risk, though, in asking a guy like that to change his game? Isn't that why you go out and get a Lamar Jackson, because of his dynamic ability to make a play? You didn't go get him for his arm. You got him because he could throw the ball, and you thought you could teach him and make him better at it, but you got him because of his ability to run. It's like Randall Cunningham. It's like Mike
Vick. But you asked the question, what's the risk?
When you ask them to not be who they are, Didn't you just waste that pick then if you didn't want a running quarterback?
Need I remind you what Deshaun Watson went through here? What's the risk? I think the risk is that if you are going to put so much on his plate and in his hands, that I'm not saying don't run at all.
Well, I should have said what's the risk.
He's got a little bit more.
What I meant is, what's the point? If you're going to take a dynamic guy whose main asset is running the ball, then why would you want him to scale that back and take away from his ability
to avoid the hits? I think they did the same thing with Michael Vick. They didn't tell him not to run. They just said to be smarter when you do. Don't try and jump over a guy and leave yourself exposed in the air. But if you see a guy barreling down on you, especially if you already got a first down, then get down.
I realize you want them to play smarter, but you're also asking them to change their mindset when they're on the field. That's what makes them
a
winner.
I think that's also part of being
intelligent. Instead of sliding and giving up 5 yards, they go for the extra 5 yards.
And then
I'm not saying it's smart. I'm just saying that's why you went out and got a guy like that.
But right, to keep his longevity, you teach him, hey, you can go run, but at a certain point, get your ass down or out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's why I think the risk is. So we'll see what happens. More football games coming up this weekend, including that Texans-Lions game.
Can't wait to not watch that. I'm going to watch it.
Do you think Matt Patricia gets to put the four-wheeler on the sidelines? Goes up and down the sidelines. That's been like the big thing that I thought more people would jump on and be. Literally with these teams practicing, he's got a four-wheeler with a Lions logo on the gas tank, and he's just racing around the practice fields, and all the coaches are giving him a hard time, and he's just like having a field day because he had some surgery on his leg.
That would be awesome if he was on the sidelines.
Because then my boy in Green Bay should have one too, because he had Achilles surgery after playing basketball this offseason. He's in a big walking boot. At least give him one of those push cart scooters that you rest your knee on. Can you see LaFleur? I want to throw the challenge, and he's like scooting down the sideline to throw the red flag.
You know how somebody breaks a run? You're like, go, go. Yeah. You see him wheeling down
the
sideline.
He's like one foot down the sideline.
Go, and then eats it. You ever seen somebody on a scooter or a bike go too fast and get that wobbly shake going where the handlebars go back and forth real fast? Oh, my God. If I got to see that from him.
And he's got a.
I'd be a
fan
for life.
He knows he's going down, so you tuck the shoulder in and just roll on the other side. That would be hilarious.
That would be outstanding.
I want to see what LaFleur does on the sidelines this weekend, because he obviously can't put the four wheeler out there.
Yeah,
but it'll be interesting to see. Again, Sarah Barshop will join us to talk Texans at around 3:30. We should have her to probably kick off the final half hour of the show. So she'll hopefully give us some insight on that game, and also on Jadeveon Clowney, that situation, Duke Johnson, when we may see him. And if you have any questions you want to get to her before we get the interview going, hit us up, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can text to that number, or you can call in with a question. Or if you want to, just tweet us. We're at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll be back with the final hour of the show, continuing to roll on right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Appreciate you guys taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city, whether you're already weekending or you're getting ready to and doing some things with work. We've been very focused on everything going on in the studio and around the sports world. Haven't paid as much attention as we normally do to the text line and the tweets, but we do see them, so we appreciate them.
Of course we do. What the hell? My thing keeps cutting out over here.
That happened to me during the Palooza.
Oh, and remember how you blamed my headphones?
I did.
For years.
I did.
And now are you on board with me that this
I fully
this
own it.
Box
I was using
up?
Those headphones earlier, and I was like, why is Jose like cutting off right now?
Thank you. I'm so glad, because y'all made me think that it was my raggedy-ass headphones. This box.
But are you using the adapter or no?
I'm using the little...
That's the problem.
The mini adapter.
Yeah, you got to get the adapter. And he can't hear what I'm
saying.
What'd
you say?
No.
I unplugged the damn thing like an idiot.
Yeah, you got to get the adapter.
I got to get the big boy adapter?
I think it'll help. You may still have the same problem,
you need
but
one,
I think
man?
It'll help.
I have one right here. I'll just use it. Don't say anything.
That.
I can't hear you right now.
Jeez, this guy. Just on the fly.
Boom. All right, a couple of texts. Somebody wanted to know, have y'all sent out the emails for the Fantasy Football League? Well, we're not sending them out, but you should have gotten them. Check your spam folder.
Yeah, yep.
But all the emails should have been. Is your league full? Has everybody created their team?
I have to go back and check, but several of the people that were at the party last night, including Clarence.
Jason, is Clarence in
Jason,
your team?
And Jason, they're nice. All, yeah, they're in my league.
So in your league, cool. Yeah. That's
yep.
cool.
Yep.
I think I have two teams left that haven't been claimed or created, so I'm not going to worry about it. At first, I was like, oh, we need to. I'm like, I don't care. Courtney's handling it. She is good at what she does. She doesn't need my help, so I'm staying out of it. Love her. Huh? All right, more text. Geez. This is an outstanding one. I'm gonna go in reverse order. So somebody texted. We were talking about the Lions being in town.
Detroit Lions.
Somebody said, I work at NASA, and the Lions were in for a tour today. I watched a guy ask Matthew Stafford what team he plays for while he was surrounded by guys in Lions gear. So not everyone at NASA is smart. I think it's safe to say there are some idiots.
Or they just aren't into anything but aerospace and science, and they don't follow sports.
But they're
still,
nerds.
It's still kind of Captain Obvious.
If they're all wearing Detroit Lions gear,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so there's this text. This is great.
It's fantastic.
I absolutely hate you guys. Let me paint a picture for you, and you can sit in there. So you're sitting there talking to your friends, and there are people listening to you, and the topic comes up about sucking toes and masturbating, and then your grandma comes in, and the conversation doesn't stop. It continues, and to make things even more uncomfortable and embarrassing, your grandmother starts to add to the conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy hell, guys. I just dropped off a 75-year-old woman who is telling me that she used to like getting her toes sucked back in the day. That's from Uber Mike. So, our bad.
Is it, though? That story alone is fantastic.
Uber Mike out of here. Hauling around a 75-year-old woman was like, yeah, baby, I like getting my toes sucked back in the day. Boy, that felt so good. If they had a mustache, it tickled. What?
Come on now.
What?
But seriously?
What would you do if
that's
you
That's like what the, when everybody always asks you the question, what would you do if you walked in on your parents?
Oh.
Right? It's the same kind of thing. You don't want to think about your grandma.
No, getting her toes sucked.
No.
But even some lady you're just driving around. Some 75-year-old woman in an Uber. See, Mike, you got to.
But we've warned him this before. Turn it off.
Yeah, Mike, you know better,
bro. And then catch up on the
bro.
Podcast later. But don't risk another ride.
Yeah, you know. But I love that she wasn't like, change that. She was like, turn it up. Oh, that's making me hot.
Might have gotten more than a 5-star and a tip.
Right.
Jeez.
If you would have sucked her toes, Mike, you would have got a bigger tip. Yep. See, buddy? We're helping you out. That's too funny.
She kicked off her shoes and slapped her feet up on the seat.
Yeah.
You never know.
Hey, Walt had a compliment about and it was nice to see him and his lovely wife. He got on me. He's like, yeah, bro, you said something about my wife being pretty. I had to go out and spend a bunch of money now to get her hair done and her nails done. It was hilarious.
Wow.
He was like, she had to live up to the reputation. But he said that the 2019 Listener Appreciation Party proves less is more. We got to interact with a lot more people and even got some food since it wasn't crowded as crowded as 2018.
Good deal.
So, yeah, I'm glad.
And Lenny was there with his Ohio State hat on and Indians jersey, because we already know where his alliance is, right?
Yes.
But then he actually, because he was listening to the show, he goes, you know what? You're right. He goes, when I first moved here and I was listening to you guys, yeah, I was a little salty and I came at you guys kind of hard. But then when I started liking the show and got used to sports radio in Houston, then I always listened to you guys and we're good now, right? I was like, yeah, we're good now.
We're good.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that because I got a private message on Facebook. And usually when I get a message from someone I'm not friends with, I just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was a little different. It was from a listener and I can't find it. We triggered him yesterday or the day before with our talk about broadcast teams. When we were talking about awful announcing had ranked
Blummer
all of
and
the
all those guys.
30 teams in the Major mm-hmm. League Baseball and where they ranked their broadcast teams on TV.
Right.
And apparently he was like, man, you guys, I don't like them. because I'm from out of town, and so I come in objectively, and to listen to them be homers the way they are.
Meaning TK and Blummer?
TK and Blummer. He really took umbrage with what we said, and he's like, I get it. I'm a diehard fan for another AL team, but it's tough to listen to them. Pretend you're not an Astros fan for 1 second and listen how big of a homer they are. And I told him, I said, look, I'm going to agree with you. They are homers. And sure, that's okay, though. But
that's what a local TV broadcast is supposed
to be. You're not supposed to be objective. If you're doing a national broadcast.
That's right.
Where you're calling your, you know, Boogs and you're calling the Cleveland Rockies game, you're supposed to be impartial. Even if it's a Yankee game and Boogs. You have. Isn't that
Boog.
Boog. Whatever.
You're Boogs.
Boog. Whatever.
Okay.
It's the big guy.
Close with enough.
John
Shambi.
John Shambi.
Yeah.
Who's really good, by the way.
He is.
But then they'll get like an Alex Rodriguez who has an obvious New York Yankees slant. And so when he's calling a Yankees game, you can hear it.
That's the reason why people don't like Joe Buck, because they always feel like he's slanted one way or another. He's slanted against their team, right? In a lot of ways. But that's why you're right. You know, and this was obviously my wheelhouse and one of the things I had to do in my previous life. And that is, and you're exactly right from a standpoint, from a national broadcast, you want to be as middle of the road as you possibly can be. No biases. You get excited for both teams. You pretend like every call you make that's a big play, regardless of who it's made for, is going to be on every phone on hold and every highlight reel. And that's the way you treat it. Whereas if your audience, which is your livelihood, which is your sponsorship, is going to turn into sponsorship dollars and viewership, is all based on how you support the team you're working for. And whether you say you're working for AT&T Sportsnet or not, that's indirectly working for the Astros.
Right.
You got rings at the end of the year when they won it.
Right.
So you have to, because the team, believe me, is beating you over the back of the head the minute that you don't show some form of bias towards that team.
My point to him was they're homers, and I'm okay with that because they're supposed to be. What I like about them, one, is their chemistry. Mm-hmm. The way that they play off of each other. And I think Blummer's very funny without being corny and over the top.
Right.
Because a lot of guys that are in that business aren't funny, but they try to be. And then it comes off, it either comes off as corny or just bad.
Right.
But then the other thing is like, I like Todd Callis, the way he gets excited for home run calls and the good plays that happen to the Astros. As a fan, that pumps me up. I don't care about another team. This is my team, right. So I'm excited about my announcers. So that was my point, is I think that their chemistry and what they do is really good, even if they're homers.
If you want to hear it to the utmost level, Nick and I were talking about this last week, listen to a Yankees broadcast with John Sterling, because he goes over the top on every home run call, and he does the rhymes, and he does puns, and he does all those kind of things. The one thing I'll add to what you said about the Todd Callis and Blummer combo is, Blummer interjects modern technology, stats, numbers, and the experiences of when he played, instead of just laughing and going, you know, and making it kind of a yuck show. He still finds a way to get in the pertinent information that you want, need, and which is trending.
Yeah.
So there you go with that. All right, Sarah Barshaw is going to join us next. That should be good. We'll talk a little Texans leading up to the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. At that point, we turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ, and Aaron, they'll take you home all the way till 7 o'clock to start your weekend right here on ESPN 97.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we get ready to take you to get some information about the Houston Texans. As we know what's going on, we know the Lions-Texans Saturday night coming up here from NRG, first home game of the preseason. Anything in particular you want to see Saturday night?
I don't. I want them to be healthy. I think, like Cody was saying earlier, watching the offensive line, but that's something you got to keep an eye on. You know, throughout not just the preseason,
sure,
but it's going to be something that you watch during the regular season as well. Also interested to see what's the backup plan for Clowney.
Yeah, and the pass rush they can get and generate, assuming one's play on the defense for at least a couple series. Right. That's a big question mark.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, there's these position battles that you know are kind of battles but aren't, but then there's also what is Duke Johnson going to do? What is, you know, what is Lonnie Johnson?
He hasn't practiced, so he's not going to play.
Yeah, what is Lonnie Johnson going to do? Not necessarily this weekend, but for the rest of the preseason. You know, there's still plenty of intrigue on this team, even though they're set at a lot. And I don't think you and I necessarily give this team enough credit for how good they are. All we do is talk about their deficiencies. And fact of the matter is the offensive line is a big one. And it's going to be an issue all year, regardless of who in this camp ends up being the starter and who in this camp ends up being a backup. The fact of the matter is there's not a lot of good starters or backups in this camp. So unless they go out and make a trade, it's probably this is who you're going to the dance with. So you better figure it out.
I'm going to watch Howard, whether he plays guard or tackle. I just want to see if they're going to get a quality player that's going to pan out in the first round, regardless of which position he's going to play. I'm going to watch Khalil because I want to see the difference between what Bill O'Brien is telling us and what he does when he's playing against somebody else that's trying to earn a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And then flip side from you, but it's one we both agreed on, is the two glaring weaknesses on this team. I'm going to watch a really good quarterback like Matt Stafford, if he gets any time, and whoever else out there, go up against this Texan secondary and give you a preview, even if it's a short sample size, of what we may have to expect this year in terms of, can they stop people? Can the safeties play the run and the pass and make the right decisions? Can the corners play the right coverages and keep guys from just marching up and down the field? Because I think that's a big concern of mine.
You watched the Green Bay game?
Some, yeah.
See, that was the thing. I didn't get to see it, obviously, because I was on the road. But I wonder if, you know, how much – I know there was 142 passing yards by the Packers, but – how much of that was, you know, dink and dunk passing? How much of that was actually exploiting the secondary? And
Kizer moved the ball.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, look, obviously without Rodgers, he's not going to be throwing, you know, multiple deep balls.
Right.
But they moved the ball. They had people open. They were effective passing the football. But again, you really didn't see the ones out there for the secondary. So it's hard to judge. I mean, you wanted to see Johnson. You saw a lot of him. And he got burned for a touchdown. So, you know, are we going to see a lot of that? Are we going to see J.J.? Are we going to see some of these guys that we want to see? Is Roby going to be the guy? Is our guys going to step up?
Have we heard anything if they plan on playing Deshaun Watson at all in this game?
I have not heard that, but that's something, obviously, if we get Sarah on the horn, we'll definitely ask her.
That's what I'd like to know, too, is because he didn't play, obviously, in game one. You've got A.J. McCarron, who's out for the rest of the preseason with the thumb injury. Right. Webb played the whole game. Mm-hmm. Is Webb going to play? And then that kid they got from Mississippi? Uh-huh. Was it
Te'alu?
So, yeah. So I think that'll be interesting. Well, have Sarah now joining us on the show. Sarah Barshop, writer for ESPN, joins us. Sarah, good to have you back again.
Thank you. It feels good for it to be football season again and to be back on talking with you guys.
And a congratulations to you for the birth of your child. We want to make sure that we send our best wishes. Always a great event, so congratulations there.
Thank you very much. It's been a fun 8 months.
Getting sleep yet? No?
Oh, yeah. She's been sleeping through the night since about 5 months. So that was a big corner she turned then, and I felt like a human again once I started getting sleep again.
That's great, yeah, because Joel's about to go through that. They're expecting at the end of October, so he'll be the one not getting sleep now. You can pass that baton to him.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So we were just talking about it before we got you on the phone. We had so many different questions about this team. But I think first and foremost, I'd like to get your insight on the whole Jadeveon Clowney situation. And what do you know? What's the latest and what have you heard from within the Texans organization?
You know, I've been talking because to me for a while, I thought like there's no way they'd actually trade Clowney, right? And so after Bill's comments on Wednesday, I was talking to people about whether this is actually a possibility. And what I've heard and what I've put together is that it is possible, but it's not an easy trade to make. And if they do trade him, then they're either not getting what they needed, not what they could get if they had traded him earlier in the year, or a team is just so desperate for, you know, for Clowney that they're willing to give the Texans what they want. But it's not like the Texans have leverage in this situation because it's already, you know, the middle of August. The team that trades for him couldn't sign him to an extension until after the season. So there are a lot of things working against the Texans trading Clowney, and I wouldn't rule it out, but it certainly would not be an easy trade to get done.
Is it true what we're hearing in terms of from his camp? They're kind of focused on that third preseason game, and that's when he'll probably show up and get ready or, you know, join the team, or is that still kind of fluctuating day by day?
I think that will fuck. I mean, I think whenever he wants to show up, he'll show up. I don't think the Texans know when that'll be. I believe Bill O'Brien, when he sold us time and time again, that's up to Clowney. He can come when he wants, and we don't really know when that will be. And I'm sure that's frustrating for the Texans. You know, they want him in camp. But from his side, he didn't get the deal he wanted. He didn't get paid. And so, as with every other player that is on the franchise tag, most of them do hold out. So I'm not surprised to see him not show up yet. But I was talking to Anthony Weaver, who's the defensive line coach, and he said that he thought it would take Clowney about, at maximum, 2 weeks to get back into football shape once he reported. So that's probably around the third preseason game, maybe right after. So that would fit the timeline that the Texans would hope to have him back before the regular season.
So game one, a game played completely by Webb at the quarterback position. Any chance that Deshaun Watson plays a series in game two versus the Lions here at home?
I think we could see a series. I don't think it'll be much more than that. I think in the third game, we looked at what Bill O'Brien has done in preseason's past. Maybe Deshaun Watson gets the first quarter. But I think there's really no reason to put them out for an extended period of time, really, anyone. You saw what happened in the first game with Kiki getting hurt, Greg Mance getting hurt. Obviously, there's always a risk anytime these players step onto the field. But the mindset of the Texans seemed to be they got a lot out of the joint practices. There's not as much of a need to get these guys exposed to another potential injury in a real game, or in a preseason game. So I think maybe we'll see a series out of him, but I wouldn't expect much more than that.
We've heard Bill O'Brien sing the praises of Khalil as his left tackle. We've heard other people that said, watching the joint practices and watching the games, that he's a huge question mark and he hasn't looked good. What have you seen out of a very, very important position that we all know in that offensive line, left tackle for the Texans?
Yeah, he's not a guy that I would probably feel confident letting him protect Deshaun Watson all season, just from what he's shown in camp. I thought early on he looked a little better, but in the joint practices, it seemed like he was getting beat a lot. I mean, it seems especially when he's been going against Merciless before the joint practices last week, that he was getting beat quite a bit. Now, the thing is, who else are you going to start at tackle? I mean, you have a couple options, but with the guys on this team, maybe he's your best option, and that's a little scary when you think about how important it is to protect Deshaun Watson.
But Howard was drafted as a tackle, right? But now they're pretty much dead set on putting him at guard. So what does that say when you're talking about who's the other option at left tackle?
I have Julian Davenport, Roderick Johnson, who was on the practice squad last year.
Like I said,
really,
who else
your
is
two
there?
Options.
Yeah, Sarah. There's a lot of stories that we talk about, you know, that I think get generally covered by the media with Clowney and the left tackle position. What's something that's kind of flying under the radar that maybe isn't getting the coverage that it possibly deserves out of Texans camp, but that you're seeing and thinking, I wonder why this isn't being made a bigger deal, or maybe isn't getting as much publicity?
You know, I'm just really interested to see what they'll do with the running backs. Because obviously they made the move to trade for Duke Johnson, and I think that was a great move. I think he and Lamar will complement each other well. But I'm curious to see what happens to either the third, or I don't know if they'll keep three or four running backs, but either of those two spots. I mean, you have the two undrafted rookies, the free agents, Higdon and Crockett. I think they could both make the team. If Tywin Jones, if you want someone who just plays special teams. So to me, what I'll be looking for in this preseason game is how Bill O'Brien divvies up the reps at running back, and, you know, whether to decide to keep three or four spots, who those guys are.
Well, we appreciate all the insight that you bring us, Sarah, and we look forward to having you throughout the year. So enjoy that first preseason game at home. We'll look forward to catching up and maybe get some notes and news of what happened out of that game come Saturday night.
Yeah, great talking to you guys.
There you go. Sarah Barshop, follower. She's great. She does everything for the Texans in terms of giving you all the information you need. You can get her via ESPN. You can follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter, and we'll have her throughout the year. So she's always a good get. Way to go.
Excellent.
Yeah, so there you have that. All right, we got one segment to go on the show, so don't go anywhere. We're going to wrap it up and put a bow on it. We're going to talk what do you got on the agenda for the final segment?
Yeah, so you're not a jealous guy, right?
No.
Nick, are you a jealous, like, if you're in a relationship, are you a jealous man?
No, not at all.
So I got this guy, I found this article from the New York Post where a jealous guy gave his girlfriend 12 rules for a night out. I want to see how many of these you would give to your girlfriend or wife, or if any.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So you got that to look forward to in the final segment of the show. Then we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. It's all right here on your FM home for sports, and should be your only home when listening to the radio for anything sports related. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show. We always appreciate you guys, the suspects, taking us on the go, wherever you may be during the course of the week. And if you can make us your home 1 through 4 p.m. every weekday right here on ESPN 97.5 FM, we would appreciate it.
We love you for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I told you guys before the break, this dude who gets real jealous made a list of rules for his girlfriend to follow when she was out and about. So I'm just going to read them. All right. Now you tell me how many you would, first of all, how many would you send to your girlfriend, or how many of these are realistic?
Okay.
First one, don't dance like a whore.
Basically impossible.
So it had something else, but I couldn't read all the words, but that's the summary of rule number one. Don't dance like a whore.
I can actually agree with that rule.
You're going to give your girlfriend that rule?
I'm not.
Yeah. It was the S word. I don't know if I can say that. You know, like someone that, a chick that gets around, sleeps with a lot of people.
Yep.
So it was don't dance like the S word, like in Reflex. I don't know what Reflex is. Is that an old Duran Duran video?
You want your girl grinding up on some other dude on the floor?
I mean, it's just dancing.
But you also have
Are they having sex?
No, they're not, but I still wouldn't like that.
But I wouldn't be calling her my girlfriend. Dude. I wouldn't be calling her my girlfriend if I didn't already have a trust level built
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I agree with that statement.
All right, number two, don't get too drunk. I think that's an okay rule to give your wife or girlfriend if she's going out.
I mean, you would think that's they weird. Have some kind of...
I opted for number two being okay, and Nick opted for number one being okay, and you're okay with both.
Yeah.
That's strange.
I
thought we would all be like... All these are dumb, but that's not going to be the case. That's good. All right, number three, no boys. And if anyone comes up to you and talks to you, you tell them you have a boyfriend.
That's too far.
What a stupid-ass rule. Because all you got to do is, did you tell them? Yeah. Okay. You don't. How do you know?
Again, I go back to the fact that if this is a serious girlfriend, then you have a trust level with him.
Well,
and the
obviously
other thing
this guy
is,
has no trust because he sent there 12
right,
things not to do.
But the other thing is that if she has enough trust to tell you, hey, there was this dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A girl that's under this much pressure from a dude isn't going to tell the truth and be like, yeah, some guy came up to me and wanted to talk to me, but I told him I didn't have a boyfriend. You already know you're dealing with a psycho. So why even put that rule down?
And, right, for your own best interest, you know you're not bringing it up. Because if you throw it out there, it's just going to hit the fan.
She's not going to tell you anything other than what you want to hear. Right. That's the thing. All right, number four. Look after your drink at all times to make sure no one puts anything in it.
I think
that's a good rule.
Fantastic rule. And I think most females are kind of on top of that.
Yeah. All right, number five. Stick with blank or blank at all times. No, like two chicks' names that she redacted from this. Not blank. looks of last night, though, mostly. So I think if I understand this, there was two girls that he wants her to hang out with that are pretty tame. Trudy and Judy.
Your girl from accounting.
And then there's like Jennifer, who dances like a whore and doesn't tell people she has a boyfriend. He doesn't want her hanging out with them. That's kind of weird. They're all going to be hanging out together.
But it's still, I think that's fine, safe advice. Whether she follows it or not, it's on her. But
do you really going to tell your girlfriend who she can and can't hang out with if they're all friends?
Again, when you have a trust level built up with your girlfriend, she probably knows already, if I want to do bad things and have bad things happen, I'm hanging out with so-and-so, and if not, I'm good.
Now, this one is weird. No one but you four in your room besides some dude's name, but he can't sleep in there.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So apparently they're all hanging out, and there's a guy in the group who's mm-hmm. their friend. Mm-hmm. And so this guy's saying, no men in the room, no one in the room except the four chicks that you're with, you four, you and your three friends that we listed in the previous rule, plus this one guy, but he can't sleep there. He can just come hang out.
Well, first of all, this isn't a sleepover in my mind.
Well, they're on a hotel, obviously on the road somewhere, maybe in Vegas or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But how do you know, again, how do you know that the dude is or isn't in the room or going to sleep there? Why put these rules out if you can't enforce them? That's the thing.
I think I know why he's putting the rule out.
I would be like, no getting herpes. And then I would know you got herpes because I would see the herpes. And then I'd be like, you violated the rule of not getting herpes because you specifically got them.
I would imagine if a dude does that,
like, he's keeping up with
it. Are you doing an exam or?
Well, I mean, if you
can see the herpes, really?
You totally can see the herpes.
The lights are out. You don't even want to see yourself.
You never had sex with the lights on?
Yes. Well, I'm just saying. You made it sound like I'm examining you and I found the herpes.
Well, this guy probably does. So,
true.
What were you going to say, Nick?
I would imagine that's just being used to be served as like a deterrent. Hey, don't be in the hotel room. That way, if there was any indication or any type of evidence that he was just in there, he can raise that up and use it against her. You know what I mean? It's more of like a deterrent he's trying to use against his spouse, I feel like.
Number 7, you can't go in anyone else's room. No one else's room.
That's dumb.
Okay.
I think that's dumb.
Number 8, you let me know everything that happens and be ready to explain your stories. At this point, I just break up with this dude.
I'm right there with you. Like,
you know what?
Over.
You're a psycho and a loser, and I'm out of here.
Yep.
The number of rules alone is going to make you sound like
8.
I know. That's going to make you sound like a psycho. Just the fact that you're on rule number 8. You know what I mean?
It's like Shark Tank for boyfriends. She's like, you're a weirdo.
Say, you sounded
and for that
like
reason,
Shark Tank,
I'm out. All right. Number 9, always send me photos of front and back of what you are wearing so I can approve.
He's possessive.
And say whether or not I think you should wear it.
Dumb ass rule.
That's crazy.
They're already broken up at this point.
Again. Take a picture with a cloak and a trench coat on, and then as soon as you send the pictures, you take them off and you put on the slutty clothes you want to wear.
You got to go to that extreme to have a girl's night out.
Yeah, this is too much.
Yeah.
All right, number 10. Even when I'm asleep, text me to tell me things so I can see it in the morning. That's desperate.
Man, that's creepy. I'm sorry, this dude sounds like a chick.
He does. He really does.
That's outstanding. He really does.
Yep.
Number 11. If you find time, call me or FaceTime me, but let me know in advance. Okay. Number 12.
Because while he's cheating on her, he needs to have ample
warning.
We're
going to get to that.
Oh.
Number 12. If you can, I want a video of the room before you go to sleep to prove no one else is in there and you are off to sleep.
Come on. Mm-mm.
Now, she posted this on her social media. Do you know why she posted it? Because he sends all this and cheats on her.
No.
Oh, my God.
So he did all of this, and he's the one cheating on her. So it's one of those things where you'll hear somebody say, if someone points out something about you, it's usually because it's their flaw.
They have experience, therefore.
If someone calls you a cheater, it's probably because they're a cheater.
Correct.
Right?
I would agree. I feel like maybe it's not true for all cases, but for a lot.
Are they on Dr. Phil next week or the week after? Because this is a whole joke.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I would never, I mean, like, I was telling you guys once before, when I was with my ex-wife, I was jealous. But it was my own insecurities was the reason I was jealous. And with my wife now, there is zero jealousy with either of us. Like, I'm not insecure about me. I'm not insecure about her or our relationship. It's just like, I know that this is it, and she knows this is, and we're comfortable with it. But some of it stems from insecurity. But at some point, you have to be somewhat rational about it.
Well, and again, it depends on what age these people are and what level of maturity they are, too, right? If they're talking about, like, college, where everybody, you could say it was your girlfriend, but, you know, your girlfriend could change next week if someone better came along, as opposed to you're in your 20s or 30s, I mean, late 20s or 30s, and you're in your adult life, you have a job, you have responsibilities, and you're looking more for someone stable for the long term, as opposed to, you know, the flavor of the week, as opposed to, you know, long term.
What I don't understand is if I was with someone that drove me this insane, to make me have to send a list like this. If I'm this guy, instead of her breaking up, I might be the one, because I'd be like, I don't trust you. I can't be with you. I don't know what it is. But if I got to send you 12 rules that make me look like an insane person.
That's the thing. If I've got to sit down and feel like I'm in a position that in order to feel comfortable with you going out of town or going out, I got to give you a list, then you should just be fun buddies or friends or just move on.
That's so toxic and just bizarre. And then he turns around and cheats on her.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
Is it? Because the list is pretty bad.
What would be your list if you gave Lisa?
I don't have to, because I'm like you guys. We're both secure and know this is it for us, and we're in a good place. But part of the reason why we are where we are is because from the get-go, it was like, I know where you're at. I know what you're thinking. You know what I'm thinking. So we're not going to get into all that. Okay, now what?
No, I'm just laughing because somebody sent a text and said, damn, is that AC that you're talking about?
Oh, wow. Oh, I got it now. Yep.
Oh, my God. Nick, would you ever give a chick? Now, let me ask you this. Would you not just give a chick these 12 rules. Have you ever, like, to one of your girlfriends or your fiance or whatever, been like, hey, look, if you're going to go out tonight, you know, do you give any rules at all?
No. I mean, I tend to agree with Joel in that I wouldn't give her a list of rules, because I feel like I would look at her values and morals and kind of gauge what how my expectations would line with her anyway. So, I mean, I wouldn't actually give a list of rules.
This is what I tell my wife when she goes out without me with the girls' night out. I say, be careful. Mm-hmm. If you get drunk, either get an Uber or call me and I'll come get you. Right. That's my rules.
Fantastic rules.
That's it. Now, mm-hmm. if it's 4 a.m. and I haven't heard from her, I'll text her and be like, are you okay? Do I need to, are you in a ditch somewhere? Are you dead? But that's it. Like that, you know, and she's the same way. She's just like, have fun, be safe. And if you get drunk and you lose your phone or need a ride, I'll come get you. That's our rules for going out.
Y'all keep it simple. That's the way it should be. Honestly, there's no ad. It's concise, to the point. It's not a list of 20. Well, how many rules is that? 27 rules? How many rules?
12. God. But man, it felt like a lot.
Yeah, it felt like you were reading 20.
That's one of those dudes who ends up like hitting his woman and then controlling her with physical violence. I just feel like that's too controlling,
it's
man.
It's just over the top. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And so, we appreciate you guys being with us all week long. So, for Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll be back again on Monday. Looking forward to catch up with all y'all at that point.
Yeah, hey, guys, I want to tell you about GetUpside, man. If you're not using GetUpside, you're missing out. And just like all the listeners out there that came to the party and told me how much they love GetUpside, you're going to love it too if you haven't used it. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download it. Put it on your phone. It's totally free to do that. And when you do, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I want you to get that extra cash back on your first fill up. And don't forget now, ABC 13 did a story on GetUpside and talked all about the great things that it does. And it's started in Washington, D.C., but it's really taking off. I've seen it other places when I travel on the road. I love being able to use it and get that cash back. It's so easy to use, and these businesses want you to come to them. That's why they offer you these special cashback offers through the GetUpside app, but you're only going to get it through the GetUpside app. So do not leave money at the pump, and do not leave money at the table. Do yourself a favor. If you don't like it, just stop using it. It's that simple. I mean, there's no commitments. There's no having to lock in for it. It's you download it, use it. You don't like it, stop. But you're going to like it because you're going to get cash back every time you use the app. So go do yourself a favor. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later. Guys, don't go anywhere. The Blitz is up next. ESPN 97.5.